it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with The Bald-Faced Truth.
Why isn't LeBron James universally loved? Michael Jordan? Does anybody hate Michael Jordan? Maybe. Maybe some Blazers fan that saw the Blazers get knocked out by MJ might not like him. Maybe a Pistons fan. Maybe Isaiah Thomas. But by and large, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem, the stars of the NBA from yesteryear are universally accepted as great. LeBron James has not been accepted as great. And I touched on it last week, and we talked about it a little bit. Is it the fact that he didn't play in high school? Well, Kobe didn't play in high school. Is it the fact that he jumped around and played for multiple teams and won multiple championships? Well, maybe that's it. Is it the fact that he's just really good? Is it the fact that he's not Kobe? Is it that he's not Michael? Is he not as fun a follow on Twitter or as fun an interview as some of the other athletes? What is it? Because LeBron can be, he can be a little stern in interviews. I know he was understandably upset over not getting MVP votes. You know, sometimes LeBron is, you know, he doesn't have the smile of Michael Jordan, right? Doesn't have the charisma. Is that it? What is that about? I want to turn to one of my resident experts on the NBA and an all-around good guy, Devon Pouncey, Portland State broadcaster, radio broadcaster, man of the world, college basketball player, whatever you want to call Pounce. He'll pick up the phone when you call him. That's what I'm saying. Pounce is joining us now. Devon Pouncey popping on. LeBron, let's talk about LeBron, Devon.
Let's talk about him. Let's talk about him.
Why isn't LeBron loved?
I almost think that LeBron is superhuman. Like, LeBron has done so many things, and he's, like, bucking so many systems across the board, which I'll get into in a second. But the fact that people don't have much that they could pin against LeBron and today's sort of ticky-tack cancel culture, you know, try to find a negative era, you know, there's not really much that you can find on LeBron. What's the worst people say about him? That he made the decision? Well, even him making that decision, although he might regret having done that, you know, now, you know, and he did that a little while back, but look at what it's done for a lot of the players across the league and them feeling a little bit more free to kind of take control of their own careers, at least as much as they can. So I think the guy is just kind of superhuman, and it's actually hard to find a flaw in him. So once you do, you just take it and run with it in either which direction you can. But it's still not that much substance behind it when you do try to find flaws in the guy.
Yeah, and I look at him, you know, he's a good family man. He's successful. He works hard at his craft. I mean, you got to look at him objectively, but even when he wins, he can't win. I think people look at him and go, you know, well, even when he's successful, they go, well, you know, people look over him when, you know, when the MVP voting comes around, everyone goes, well, they judge him by a different standard. And that's hard to do. Yeah. Like, you know, he pointed that out.
I mean, I think he's sort of breaking barriers in more of a progressive way, and I think that's where some people have a hard time with him. And not to get, like, overly political here, but I think that's more so the conservative fan that doesn't like what LeBron has done. I mean, you look at him, obviously, as a player. I already mentioned the decision and kind of how he controlled his narrative there. You look at what he's doing even in the media landscape. He's not, you know, the contracted entities with his employers don't really get much out of LeBron. But if you go check out Uninterrupted, which is the media entity that he owns, you can get a whole lot out of him. You got his best friend Maverick Carter running it. And I just think the model that he's created has been more of a progressive model that we honestly haven't really seen before, even the college basketball landscape. You look at, you know, his agent Rich Paul, which is obviously one of his good friends, and we've had the age-old debate about athletes getting paid in college, and they tried to keep Rich Paul out of being able to be an agent for these college basketball players. And then the kid's name is blanking me, but the kid who he got the internship with, I think it was New Balance or something like that, the $1 million internship instead of going to college. So it's just all these progressive ways that I think LeBron is breaking barriers within sport and obviously outside of sport that can be tough for people to grasp right now in the moment. But I think 10, 20, 50 years down the line, like, we'll be looking back at LeBron as arguably the greatest to ever do it, obviously because of his success on the court, but also the barriers he's been able to break off of the court that we just haven't gotten quite comfortable with yet because we've never seen anything like the guy before.
Talking to Devon Pouncey, he is with Root Streets as well. Straight Roots.
Yep.
And also Portland State Basketball. Looks like you're going to get to call some basketball games.
Hey, I'm looking forward to that, man. I mean, as soon as I saw yesterday that we had some Pac-12 football games coming along, I'm like, oh, yeah, that means the Big Sky should be following up shortly. And, you know, even though there probably won't be any fans in the stands, my job at least still will hold strong because you still got to have some broadcasters there. So I'm definitely looking forward to potentially being able to do that. Obviously, nothing is etched in stone yet, but I definitely feel a lot better about being able to going back and doing my job after the announcement of Pac-12 football coming back. I think it'll just kind of trickle out to all the other smaller conferences here on the West Coast.
Pounce, you know, LeBron James Haters United is a Facebook group. It's got 64,000 members. It's
nuts.
It's crazy. 64,000 people who went, I want to join that group. But is part right. of the is part of the issue with LeBron that we all know he's great. Everybody knows he's going to be successful. But when he says not two, not three, not four, not five, is part of the problem that we all fear if LeBron has success that we're never going to hear the end of it?
I mean, yeah, you can feel that way, but I mean, LeBron is having success. And so, I mean, you're still not going to hear the end of it. I mean, people are going as far as making hate Facebook groups against the guy. So, I mean, either way, you know, what was he supposed to say when he went up there and said not one, not two, not three? What was he supposed to say? He was going to lose the championship? For example, I, as a basketball fan, forget being an analyst, forget being a former college basketball player. As a basketball fan, I was not impressed at Paul George when he said after the game, after they got eliminated in Game 7 by Denver, that he knew this year wasn't a championship or bust year and that they needed to get chemistry and, you know, pull things together for them to be able to ultimately get to a championship at some point. But it's like, no, man, you got to come into every season, every playoffs, every series as if this is a championship or bust season, especially when you have a team as talented as the Clippers or as talented as many of the teams LeBron has gotten to play for. So, I mean, the guy's got to say he's going to go out and win it every year, because if he doesn't, then to me, there's some confidence lacking there. And I think we saw some confidence lacking in Paul George in having the approach that he had, because obviously they're sitting at home right now when they shouldn't be.
Three-time NBA champion, three-time Finals MVP, four-time NBA Most Valuable Player, 16 All-Star games. It's hard to argue that he's not, you know, one, two, three, you know, maybe if you're really critical of him, you drop him to four, you know. He's in the top
right.
four players ever. Is part of the problem that we have with LeBron that he comes out of high school and a lot is given to him, expected of him, before he's even played an NBA game?
I mean, you know, I think some people definitely, like I said, again, I think he's took more of a progressive approach to the game. You know, we've gotten accustomed to seeing guys more so, you know, go the college route, come out of college, then make it to the NBA. LeBron was certainly the biggest brand I've ever seen coming out of high school, even more so than guys like Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett who came out of high school before he did. I don't think we'd ever seen anything like LeBron. So, like I said, I think from him coming into the league as a young 18-year-old and obviously, you know, getting acknowledged the way that he did, even in his years younger than that as a high school player, the fact that we haven't really been able to poke many holes in the guy's career, whether it be on the court or off the court, I think has just made people really uncomfortable. And until folks get comfortable with the fact that this is some of the greatest stuff we've ever seen within this sport, if not the greatest stuff we've ever seen within this sport, regardless of if it was done the way one would have expected it to be, you got to give the man credit where it's due. I just don't want it to be a situation where he gets his flowers too late, because what he's doing right now in this moment is absolutely incredible.
Does this year matter in his legacy? Meaning, let's say they go on, they put away the Nuggets, they beat the Heat in the East in the NBA Finals, and he's got another title. Does that matter versus if, you know, the Nuggets come back from a 3-1 deficit and knock LeBron's team out?
Well, I think every ring matters. you know, I think being able to go out and win another championship, especially at his age, you know, I don't think a lot of the people that he gets compared to, I don't think, you know, has won a championship as maybe arguably the best player on their team at 35 years old. And so, you know, the fact that he's still doing it, I think, is a part of what makes his legacy so great. So if he can tack on a ring this late in his career, like we saw that of a Tom Brady, who I think now is considered the greatest quarterback of all time, not because of just what he did throughout his career, but what he was able to accomplish even in his later years in his career. Obviously, we know he's still playing, but to win titles at any age past 35 and still being kind of the key piece to any team, I think is quite impressive and something that we don't quite see often. So I think, you know, being able to actually win a title at this point in his career might be more impressive than any of the other titles that he's ever won.
Yeah, Kobe
Bryant. And he's
Bryant.
In the West, so you got to consider that too.
Kobe Bryant wins his final title at age 32. And of course, Michael Jordan was 35 when he became his sixth title in 98. So, it would be right in there with LeBron. But I feel like LeBron's got this one maybe 1.5 to 2 more years. Do you see him slipping?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Father Time is still undefeated, and I'll never bet against Father Time. So I think he'll eventually slip at some point. And, you know, I don't wish injury upon anybody, but whether it just be because of age or whether it be because, you know, the body starts to break down, you know, I'm not betting against Father Time myself. But the fact that, like I said, he's doing it to this point, and even, you know, mentioning Jordan, you know, winning his last title at 35. Well, that's Michael Jordan, and that's why he gets the recognition that he does, because of what he was able to do throughout that entire decade in the 90s, and obviously the presence he had in the 80s as well. But as far as being a winner in the 90s, he was just unmatched. I'm not betting against Father Time. You know, I'm just going to, like I said, enjoy the ride while we can, because we don't have much time. That much I do know, with LeBron and his greatness and doing what he's been able to do, you know, for the culture of basketball, not just within the NBA, but the entire culture of the sport, from the youth levels to the collegiate levels and obviously to the professional level.
Rank your top three players, Devon Pouncey's top three all-time NBA players, 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. I'm probably going to make a few of your listeners mad here, but I'm a Kobe guy. Kobe, to me, obviously most people go with Michael Jordan, and even, you know, one of Kobe's last interviews that he did before, you know, he passed away, when he did the interview on All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, you know, he acknowledged that he mirrored a lot of his game after Michael Jordan. So from the respect level, I understand why people would say Michael Jordan over Kobe. But from the era that I grew up and came up in and what made me really love and enjoy basketball. Kobe Bryant was that dude. And I don't think Jordan was that far ahead of him to where my bias kicking in matters too much. Like I said, I'll acknowledge the bias, but Kobe's my guy. And then I'll go with Michael Jordan after Kobe, just because, like I said, I got a little bias towards Kobe, and I know who Michael Jordan is, and I respect it. And then at number three, I got to go with LeBron James. And I think some people would say otherwise with LeBron as well, maybe being ahead of Kobe. Obviously, there's a few out there that would say he's the greatest ever. And I think the folks that you would hear that he's the greatest from is the younger generation that has came up and kind of had their love of basketball molded around a lot of what LeBron has done as the face of the sport. So that's my top three in my own personal order. Hate it or love it, that's who I'm rolling with.
Devon Pouncey, look forward to hearing you on a Portland State basketball game. Appreciate you, man.
I'm looking forward to being able to do it, man. Thank goodness that it's looking like it's going to happen at least.
Thanks for joining us. There's Devon Pouncey. He got his 1-2-3 wrong. It's Jordan 1. I'm going to say LeBron 2, Kobe 3. And I'm just talking about who I would pick in their prime in a game. I'm not talking about their accomplishments, because if you ask me to rate their accomplishments, I'm going Jordan, Kobe, LeBron based on championships alone. And don't at me with Bill Russell in his NBA titles or Oscar Robertson. You can make your own argument at your barbecue. All right, leave it here. Anna's coming up. Into the studio. She does it every day on the show. She's here. She's in camouflage. You're like,
can
ready
you see
for,
me?
You look like you're ready.
Sorry, that's so lame of a joke.
No, it was good. It was good. I needed that. It's Friday. It's Friday. You're in camo.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
It's called It's What's Clean.
Isn't that
so
the truth?
So I wore it.
Isn't that the truth? I find myself reaching into like the back corner of the drawers, pulling out things that I haven't worn for years.
You have been wearing some kind of unusual clothing.
Combinations. It's hard when you know no one's going to see you.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reasonable expectation pre-pandemic that I'm going to see another human being that I, you know, like, bless you. I care about your opinion. I do.
Oh, thanks.
But when I wake up now and I know that there's a fair shot I'm not going to see an outsider, what I call a civilian.
Lowers the bar, huh?
Well, I can put on a workout shirt that doesn't fit me, maybe. You know, one of those Alabama football jerseys that are half cut. Judah, do you find yourself doing that? You got like a tank top from eighth grade on today or something? You know?
How did you know? Yeah.
Is that a common thing, you guys? Alabama, Adriana, Judah.
I've definitely got some old swag, some old gear that I probably need to get rid of, but I keep it around because you just never know. You might need it, you know, in a pinch. And I just moved residences, so I'm finding all kinds of clothes that I'm putting on now that I haven't worn in like 3 years.
I know that I have somewhere, I have a shirt from 1999 from the elementary school that my sister and I went to. I know that I have it somewhere, but I don't know where exactly it is.
1999.
Uh-huh. Bummer. Wow. That relic would be really good to have around.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You pulled out a sweatshirt from your childhood the other day and handed it to our six-year-old.
Yeah.
What was that?
I wasn't going to put it on myself. That was a sweatshirt that my younger brother wore when I was in high school. He would go to the high school games, and he'd have that sweatshirt on.
Well, was your name on it?
Yeah, name on the back and everything. And I remember when he outgrew it, I think my parents just gave it to me and said, "Oh, your kids will wear this someday." And you know how you always save crap? I mean, I think all of us have it, like a drawer or two or whatever.
Some of us, it's an attic. Some of us, it's an entire bay of a garage.
Yeah. You have some stuff that you're like, I'm not going to throw that away. I'm going to need it someday. Over the years, as I've moved from 6 newspapers in different states, changed houses, changed addresses, I have carried that damn sweatshirt with me everywhere. And I forgot about it at some point. And I opened a box during this pandemic. And I went, oh, yeah, there's that sweatshirt. And lo and behold, I think our youngest is about that size. Mm-hmm. So just in the nick of time.
Yeah.
Got that done. Just under the wire. United Airlines is doing something I want to talk about here. They're offering COVID testing for passengers, but only for some passengers.
Okay. At risk, compromised immunity passengers?
They're going first class or business class.
Because
the idea is that you're almost shoulder to shoulder still in a first class seat, and then the other seats, there's spaces between you.
Okay.
Should United just do it for everyone?
Kind of feels like it. It feels a little bit like the Titanic, where it's like, are you in steerage?
Hey.
Go back to steerage.
Get back in the bottom of the ship.
Right?
I'd be down there. Hey, how about a test back here? You know, we're in the back of the plane.
So when people line up, it's like, okay, first class and business passengers line up at the gate. Then they test them, and then they just put the test kits away.
I think that
when the coach lines up.
You know what the airline should do? They should all get together, and they should get together with individual airports that are major airports. They should do testing across the airports. That would be a great service. Hey, it's safe to come fly again. If you fly through Chicago O'Hare, everybody who's coming through there is getting a coronavirus test.
I mean,
that's
the kind of thing that you can just say and not even discuss, like, the cost of it and the mechanics of how that will work. Like, in an ideal world, that's what's happening.
I know how that works. If they're charging us for bags and they're charging us for meals, hey, we're going to give you a test. We're adding $22 to your fare to cover the cost of that test. Is that a good thing or no?
I don't know.
You're not too worried about it.
I don't know. I can't even wrap my head around flying right now. So it's just so far beyond the reach of what I need to worry about right now.
Are we bad in that my parents now have decided they're going to fly up? And I think they're coming up first week or second week of October now. They're going to come up here. They're in the kill zone. They're in their 70s. You know, are we bad for saying, okay, it's cool for you guys to come up?
I don't know.
Long pause there.
Because I love them and I want to see them, and it's all about measured risk these days. It's, you know, it's college football, it's everything else. It's a measured risk.
I love that they went and had a COVID test.
They did.
They tested to see if they had the antibodies, to see if they had it at any point.
Yeah.
And they're clean. So we're like, okay, it's safe for you to come up.
Yeah, they were COVID free as of like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we need them to have that test again right before they get on the plane. You know, get that done. We were talking about stadiums early in the show as well. You've seen an NFL game at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. You saw a Monday Night Football game there.
So fun.
You've been to I think what they're calling T-Mobile. Is that where the Mariners are playing now? T-Mobile. They calling that T-Mobile?
Yeah, they're calling it T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, you've been there to see a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah.
You've been down to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Yeah. We went to Fenway Park, remember?
You've been to Fenway.
We went to Boston.
Yeah. All right. And you've been to PNC Park in Pittsburgh. That is one of the favorites right on the river there.
Yeah. And then...
I've taken you some places.
You've taken me some places. That's the whole... Is that the point of this conversation?
You've been to the... Where else have you been? You've been to
the Super Bowl,
an Alamo Bowl, huh? Didn't you go see an Alamo Bowl or something?
Lovely El Paso.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
when we just sauntered over the border into Juarez.
That was not.
Oh no, that was
a Sun Bowl.
That was a Sun Bowl.
You went to the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sorry. Texas confuses
people,
me.
Our Texans in the crowd are freaking out right now.
Disgusted with
throwing things at their
lack of knowledge about Texas.
I think El Paso is people in El Paso.
Uh-huh. Oh, I can't wait for the rest of the sentence.
I think it get a bad rap.
Why?
Because of Juarez and all that, and people are like, it's dangerous to go over the border. Oh, El Paso.
That's not the Juarez we saw. We just walked across and had a lovely day in Juarez.
It was nice.
Yeah.
But then we heard stories about people going missing and everything, and I got scared to go back there again. But
yeah.
I think El Paso gets a bad rap, and I don't know quite why that happens. You know?
Yeah.
I just think it's one of those places. But what I'm getting to is, what's the favorite stadium you've ever been in?
I don't know. I'm distracted now because all I could think of in El Paso was the margarita we got that was literally in a fishbowl.
Giant bowl.
It was like New Year's Eve, and they brought out these margaritas that were served in an actual fishbowl. It was awesome.
That was the trip. Were you there when I took the riders from the Emerald out for a steak dinner?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. This is when I was being nice to young people who were aspiring journalists. Mm-hmm. So the young journalists at the Daily Emerald, who covered Oregon football,
yeah,
had to pay their own way down there, or there was some ridiculous thing where they drove or something, mm-hmm. and they drove to El Paso or
they're
whatever,
like
it
six
was.
To a room.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll never forget this because they drove down there, and then they had, you know, we were like, we're all going to dinner, going to a steak dinner, and we're all in the workroom. And the two young guys that were working for the Emerald were sitting there, and we were like, do you guys want to come? And they're like, you know, like, I could tell.
Yeah.
I've been in college. I could tell when you don't have money.
Right.
Okay. And they were essentially going, it's not really in the budget. We're sleeping in our cars, you idiot. And you're asking us if we want to go have a steak dinner. So I said, come with us. You won't pay.
Okay.
They jumped at it, right? We took them out for a steak dinner, and we took them and treated them to a lovely steak dinner. And it was years later that, because I thought nothing of it. In fact, I probably expensed it to the Oregonian or something. It was years later I ran into one of them, and I had forgotten about it. And he said, I will never forget how kind you were in taking us out for a steak dinner. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it was kind.
That's that nice of you to take credit for putting it on the expense account.
Right. Yeah. So I took that in a heartbeat.
Really big of you.
But what was your favorite stadium?
You know, PNC Stadium. Was that the one in Pittsburgh?
PNC Park.
PNC Park. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it was the whole... Pittsburgh surprised me. It was the whole structure of their downtown. It reminded me, actually, a bit of Portland.
It does.
And I just loved that they had like three stadiums all within essentially walking distance of each other. And, you know, I'm not like diehard sports fan
right
most of the time. But I appreciated the dedication and the leadership that had gone into making that happen. Like that obviously was no accident. And, you know, they were celebrating the fact that they have this river and the stadiums were nice. I thought it was really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, you got PNC Park, you got Heinz Field, and you have, as you look at their downtown, it really is like Portland. And it's a very similar size
mm-hmm.
city, like yeah. market size is very comparable to Portland.
Yeah.
And then they just have done such a good job of putting the stadiums right on the river.
Yeah.
And it feel you could walk across the footbridge, you go to the game, and then you walk back. And I remember that day we went to the game. It was kind of on a whim. And we decided to go to the game. We bought tickets. And it was the Royals against the Pirates.
Yeah.
Both teams were bad. It was like two last place teams. We got seats for like
$15. Nothing. Yeah.
And we sat like first base side. First row.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. Like your feet were on the dugout. Of course that's your favorite stadium. You're like, oh, I go to the stadium and put my feet on the dugout. I grew up going to Candlestick, sitting in the nosebleeds, looking down at people like you that were enjoying their game at the stadium. But
yeah, I probably have a skewed sense of
But things. PNC gets a lot of credit. It's a great, beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
Dre is in Portland, and it's that time of day that Dre calls in. How are you, Dre?
Jay, I'm doing great, man. I see you working, though, and I'm glad my wife's not listening because the first thing she would have did was look at me and say, how come we're not traveling? we're trying to make decisions between Lincoln City and Seaside. Here you guys are going to see all these stadiums, man. I need to step up my husband-wife game. I appreciate the motivation, bro.
Thanks, buddy.
Dre, this is like, we're talking about the places we've gone in a span of like 15 years.
And
man.
Also on work trips.
I am.
Right.
I'm talking the same thing. And it's, well, you know, we might sprinkle some Depot Bay in there every now and then, but.
You know what you need to do is tell your wife she's welcome to come with you to work anytime. Because that's what this is. It's a work trip. All right.
Yeah.
Dre.
Yeah. These are just all tag along trips. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're going somewhere kind of fun.
The part we don't talk about is the part where, like, you're on this trip and all of a sudden something happens and I need to break away and go right. And we're just sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
We're sitting at a coffee shop in some exotic city going, well, this is a good trip.
Oh, the best was I was at like a, we were in, shoot, where was it? Somewhere in the Northeast. I want to say like Princetown. Is that what it's called?
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Up in
Provincetown.
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 Yeah. Provincetown. We had decided we were going to go treat ourselves to like a lobster or a crab dinner, and
I don't even remember this. Tell me what happened.
There was some story that broke. You had to write.
Yeah.
We're already at dinner. Like the shellfish has been served. I'm sitting a foot away from you, making an absolute mess, like probably splashing.
And I'm writing.
And you're writing.
Yeah, I remember having the laptop out on the table, people looking at me like, what is that idiot doing at dinner? Like, it's one thing to have your, you know, you see couples are looking at their phones.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, they're not really talking to each other. I wonder what's wrong in their relationship. Like, for us, like, I'm at the table on my laptop, and people are looking over going, how bad is that relationship?
Boy, they must be really bored with each other. Last night, that was us. We went to dinner, and it was curriculum night for our daughter's first grade classroom.
Yeah.
So I had to be on Zoom. You were dealing with the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Yeah, we looked like we just had nothing to say to each other.
Yeah, at one point, you got up from the table because you had your headset in. And you're looking at your phone and you're like, oh, crap, because the teacher on curriculum night, guys, Alabama, Jonah and Judah, the teacher suddenly said, let's have everyone introduce themselves. Anna's having a martini. OK, so how is that going to play with the moms who are on the call? Everybody in their pajamas going, I can't get through homeschool. Let's go to Anna. She's having a martini at the restaurant. So Anna's like, oh, crap, I got to go outside. So she got up, left me at the table. I'm looking at the Pac-12 stuff. And she goes outside to pretend that she's not having a drink.
I think you should have held it up and been proud about it.
So I said,
you're dealing with a lot. You deserve a martini.
Dude, the truth is, other parents on that call, they might have been at home, but they were also drinking.
Definitely.
Okay, come
Definitely.
On.
What you should have done is you should have held up your drink and said, I don't know what you guys are doing, but no. I'm having a martini right now.
See, that's the thing. I thought, you know, when you're on Zoom, anybody that's done a Zoom call on your computer versus your phone, I didn't realize that everybody actually had their camera, like, on. And so I just assumed because it was curriculum night, we were just going to all have our cameras off and focus on what the teacher was saying. So the entire time, I had the camera off thinking that's what everybody
was saying. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.